No one will be that eternal priestly bride but she who has made herself ready.
For the battle is raging.
We welcome you back to the Brenda Price Ministries podcast. Some of you have been joining us for the Eternal Unveiling series, which has been really exciting to listen to. If these messages have been encouraging to you, we just ask you to go ahead and write us via our website at brendapriceministries.weebly.com. And there you'll find a contact page, and at that contact page, you can send us information. Let us know what you're thinking about the podcast that you're listening to, whether it's encouraged you or challenged you. We'd really like to hear back from you. And we encourage you to share this with your friends, and you can do that either through Facebook or by going to our podcast page and just clicking that button that says share. So without any further ado, we'll continue on with this, the fourth part of the Eternal Unveiling series.
Well, here we are, ready to grow in the Spirit, ready to learn what this voice from the throne of God is saying to his people in this, the last of the last days. I'm sure you've all sensed that. I know that you don't have to look too far to realize where we're at in time. Even the worldly people who don't know Jesus Christ are understanding that something significant is happening across the face of the earth. But he's calling us to be a bride. And not everyone, friends, are going to be the bride of Jesus. Not all Christians are going to be the bride of Jesus. This is a special elite overcoming group that have overcome the love of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And another way he explained it to me is he called it Mount Zion. And if you do a study on Mount Zion, you'll see that it's mentioned many times in Scripture as his address, where he lives, where he resides, where he dwells. We were recently in Israel for several months, and God has called me to do ministry in Israel. And in fact, there may come a time that we actually locate there. I don't know. I'm waiting on the Lord for that. But we have always loved the place that is now called Mount Zion. Mount Zion was originally the Temple Mount area and all around there. And then it became known as Mount Zion on the exact Temple Mount. But at this present day and time, Mount Zion is outside of the wall of the city in a particular location. And I did not realize it was Mount Zion when I was there a couple trips back. But I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in such a unique way. There is a place there where they say Jesus held his Last Supper. And also in that same place is where they have found the tomb of King David, King Solomon, and another of the Davidic sons who was a king. And when I was having that experience with the Lord on Mount Zion, the place that is referred to in Israel at this point is Mount Zion, I had not put all this information together, but knew that it was a special place. And one day when we were in Israel in 2014, I was drawn to go there, me and my family, as we were ministering one day, and had such a divine appointment and a divine connection there. And I said, truly, Mount Zion is where God puts his address. And he began to reveal to me that Mount Zion is the place that we dwell in when we see death to earthly desires as a great achievement. And it means that nothing else on earth holds you bound. You can only be free when living in Christ. You know, our affections can sometimes be lived out in other places. It's where your affection lies that is the point here of the whole matter. When you die to earthly desires and you see that this earth is just a phase, that you're going through a passing phase of testing, and it is also a time of being put into the position that you will eternally have, whether you're going to be a general or a colonel, a private, you're deciding that place here on earth. And hopefully the highest place, of course, is to be in the bride of Jesus. And hopefully we will attain that and hear, well done. There's a lot of people who believe that every Christian will hear a well done when they stand before the Lord. But I don't believe that's the case. And there are others who have seen the white judgments, throne judgment seat of Christ where we will all stand. And as much as the Lord wanted to say well done to some of the Christians, he was not able to say well done. So we see that this is something that we obtain through obedience and love and desire. And so Mount Zion is referred to, I believe, as the place that we dwell in the spirit realm when we see death to everything that has captured our heart. And that nothing else keeps you earthbound. And you can truly be free when you're living in Christ. And this means that on the flip side, you have crucified this earthly life. And that death to self has brought you gain. Now, I want to discuss a scripture, Romans 12:2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So in this scripture of Romans 12:2 that we just read, we find that there is a key here, how to live on Mount Zion. He says, be not conformed to this world. That means you're conformed to this world when you're alive and molded into the world's example. But it says to be transformed, which means resurrected, by the renewing of your mind. So your mind, when it is renewed through the Word of God, prayer and time with the Lord, transforms your affections and your desires and gives you a dwelling place called Mount Zion. So the beauty of the cross is the relief that comes when you are totally surrendered over to living life through another. Jesus is the one that is living his life in you when you come to this place. And while your still earthly life is still being lived, you're taken to a place of complete love and with the Father, and that where nothing can interfere with the flow of your time with the Lord. It's a free flow, if you will. And this is where the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, has taken place and continues to be foremost in your heart. And this progress starts at Gethsemane. You know where Jesus walked and the things he went through, we also are called to go. And so there comes a time in all of our lives that you will come to a Gethsemane if you're going on for the Lord. The place of prayer and surrender, where you finally lay it down and say, not my will, but thine be done. We discussed last week how the disciples were being called by Jesus on Gethsemane to watch and pray, to watch how he prayed, to watch how he communed with the Father in surrendering his will by saying, not my will, but thine be done. So this Gethsemane is when you come to a place in your earthly life that you no longer rule and reign, but Christ has taken that position and he is your ultimate goal. So then there's another place, isn't there, where we have to go after Gethsemane if we follow in his steps, and that's called Calvary. We all want to skip Calvary and go straight to the resurrection, but friends, without the total crucifixion of your surrender, until you've reached that surrender and followed it through to the crucifixion site, you've not yet overcome. You have to walk out the experience of what you surrendered in Gethsemane, and then you graduate to dwelling in the heavenly, being able to be taken up by dream and vision, and God is able to entrust to you his secrets and his heart and the burden of the Lord. You know, one prophet I heard recently say that our survival in this hour depends on us going higher. And I couldn't be in more agreement. If we don't go higher, we're going to get bogged down, and many will delete their names out of the book of life because they will be offended in this last hour. I know Jesus has continued by telling me that his sounding trumpet, we all are talking about the trumpet, the shofar, the hour of the shofar, the hour of the sounding of the trumpet. And my grandson was in prayer this week. He's a young, wonderful boy that loves the Lord. And he said, Grandma, I was on my knees and I heard this trumpet sound. And it reminded me of this part of the book that I have written where I said that the sound of the trumpet is actually the roar of Jesus, which is a bursting call that comes out of the gut and says, meet me in the spirit and become one with me. And when he gave me this, he said to me, fullness, fullness, fullness. Well, I now know that these three fullnesses are fullnesses of time. The first fullness of time that's mentioned in Scripture is that in the fullness of time, Jesus came. It also said in the fullness of time, Pentecost was poured out with the speaking in tongues and the full manifestation of Pentecost. The third fullness is what I'm talking about with you in this series. Now, at this point, I need to go back a few weeks where the Lord showed me something amazing. I have a friend. His name is Clayt Sonmore, and he had written a new book. And as I was reading his book, I understood more clearly about the Feast of Tabernacles, that this event that we've been talking about is the fulfillment of the third great feast of the Jews. And the Word tells us that on the seventh day, God rested. And this has layers of revelation. We all know that at the end of Earth's seventh day comes the millennial reign. Well, God is resting. God resting is a statement of having completed something. And then on the eighth day, the new week starts again along with a new plan. And just as 7 days are complete of 1 week and begins a new week, so the understanding here is that at the end of the seventh day, we will be completed. Now, Ephesians 1:10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. So this is talking about times, and that often refers to more than two. And we are referring now to the third set of fullness of times. But Ephesians 1:10 goes on to say that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in earth, even in him. So that dispensation of the fullness of times is more than one time of fullness. It is a plural fullness. And we understand this to mean that there will be a time that the great cloud of witnesses, all of the saints that have preceded us, will join with us and we will become one with him along with them. Right now we are separated from them because of death, but I believe that this fullness of times event will be like the previous times that came to fullness. That is the fulfillment of the first two feasts. That is, it takes place on this side of the millennial reign, So if the first two feasts were fulfilled in this on this side of the millennial reign, then it only stands to reason that the fulfillment of the third feast will also take place in this, the last moments of this age. And our Father wants to display himself in fullness on this side of his eternal reign, doing it right before the actual dawning of the new and glorious age of his kingdom. Colossians 2:15 says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." This was speaking of his achievement on the cross, and that achievement fulfilled the first of the three feasts. It was an hour of triumph that was displayed in the midst of darkness. Likewise, in this last hour, he will spoil the powers in the midst of a full reign of darkness. His light will be brighter as the darkness closes in. All God's righteous creation is now fixed as they look upon the next and final degree of fullness as it turns the corner of time. We will soon see the most unparalleled display of the glory of God. We are coming into a time now where the cup of iniquity will come to its fullness. A spirit of lawlessness will reign. He showed me this clearly. And the four writers of the first four open seals of the book of Revelations will see to it that anarchy reigns. Peace will be taken from the earth. Turmoil is the landlord of the world's systems, and the demonic forces will reach their full potential. Why do you think so many are walking into schools and restaurants and places, even nursing homes, opening fire? Well, Ezekiel 14:21 was speaking of judgment on Israel, but I believe that it holds hands with Revelations 4 horsemen. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast." You see, a culture of death is a spirit of lawlessness, and that is on us right now. And everything in the womb of man's evil imagination will come to its full term. And the perfection of evil, if you will be unlike any other generation. It is here now, and it's very near perfection. Good will be called evil, and evil will be called good. And I know that most of you have begun to experience that even now. And the rights of everything good, holy, and righteous will be outlawed. But make no mistake, it cannot be taken away from this, for this world does not own it or control it. But the light will always exceed darkness in its warmth, illumination, and power. It's going to be brighter now at this last time than at any other interval in history because of the darkness prevailing upon it. There is a revelation going on. Many are walking away from the self-seeking, money, and fame-driven church, and they are tenaciously running toward holiness and a personal encounter with Daddy. We're trading the lie of the false shepherds who have bridled and saddled the church in order to pull her into their control for the truth of intimacy with Jesus that is always outside of the influence of the false shepherds. We no longer need an earthly priest to hear for us or a new Moses to ascend Mount Sinai and receive the commandments. We stand open-faced before a torn curtain and walk into the invitation given by the curtain that was torn to give full access to your bridegroom. This is Brenda Price saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. Go to Mount Zion. God bless you, friends. We'll see you again on the next part of this wonderful revelation called the Eternal Unveiling. Until next time, God bless you and keep you. Amen.
This podcast has been a production of Brenda Price Ministries. Evangelist Brenda Price has more materials available on this subject, including her most recent book titled The Eternal Unveiling. It can be found at our website, along with other resources we have made available. The website can be found at brendapriceministries.weebly.com.